This podcast is brought to you by Men's Tee Clinic. Men's Tee Clinic is the team I trust with my total wellness optimization, and so should you. Five DFW locations with North Frisco, El Dorado Parkway at Dallas North Tollway now open. Call 972-GO-MEN'S-TEE or visit mensteeclinic.com.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Have you ever wondered what it's like to experience something paranormal, supernatural, or unexplainable? Join host Jack Wagner on the podcast Otherworld as he explores spine-chilling real stories shared by everyday people who have experienced something unexplainable. Listen each week for first-person testimony from people who have come face-to-face with something that can't just be explained away. Listen and follow Otherworld, an Odyssey podcast, available now on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. We're about to go across the NFC East. And then coming up after that, our Dallas Mavericks, Dallas Stars super segment as part of the Expressway. But let's start with the NFC East. Always choose your own adventure. Would you like to go with the Cowboys, the Commanders, the Giants, or the Eagles?
Let's go with the first place team at the moment, Kevin. The Commanders.
Give me cut number 12 because Corey has demanded to hear it.
Not necessarily.
That's what I heard.
Fourth down. Free runner, Owusu Koramoah missed him. And Daniels has the first down and more. Down the sideline, it's first and goal.
So, Jayden Daniels, is it fair to say he's become, like, the topic in the NFL? I know there's always tons of things to talk about, but he feels like he has moved to the top of everyone's talking about him.
Yeah, we discussed yesterday what he's done with over 1,000 yards passing and 250 yards rushing.
That first is first player ever.
Yeah, nobody's ever done that before. And I continue to talk about he's not a runner as well as he is. Just, I can run. And and if y'all need me to run, but I don't have to run first.
Sure.
He's a quarterback first. And then on top of that, he can escape. And then if you design some runs, he can get you first downs. It completely throws off the balance of a defense the way he's playing.
Now, a couple of other notable statistics for Jayden Daniels. He's the third rookie quarterback since 1950 to start and win four of his team's first five games. The other two to do it, Dak Prescott in 2016 and Joe Ferguson, whoever the hell that is.
It's Jake's dad.
In 1973 with Buffalo. Wow. He's also the fourth quarterback since 1950 to win each of his first three starts and throw no interceptions, joining Matt Ryan, Tua, and Russell Wilson.
Oh, I thought you were going to say Joe Ferguson again.
No, that is a fair point.
Of course it would be Joe Ferguson.
Here's a big deal for the Commanders, though. Now, part of it is, you mentioned it, the offense. The Commanders are the first team since the merger in 1970 to score 150 or more points combined in their first five games while starting a rookie quarterback. So that's awesome for them. But look at the defense. So through the first 4 weeks, we talked about it. Their defense was struggling. They had a total of 8 sacks in weeks 1 through 4. So, whatever. They generated pressure on the quarterback in this last game 43.6% of the time.
Wow.
And got 7 sacks. That part is really scary to me because I have no doubt that Jayden Daniels will continue to get better, and this looks like a really good team. If their defense picks it up, holy moly.
Okay.
Which it did.
Kevin.
They've played a bunch of crap teams.
I do want to pump the brakes a little bit. It seems like every team has generated lots of pressure against Cleveland.
That is a fair point.
So, like, I mean, the Cowboys had, what, 8 and, like, 50 pressures or something every week, even the Giants.
Yeah.
So I will pump the brakes there. But, yes, if their defense steps into being serviceable to what the Chiefs' defense was, this is two offenses and defenses that can match up really, really well together. So, yeah, that could be a big concern, especially with the way the Cowboys' offense has sputtered out a lot of times throughout the season so far.
If you're looking for a reason to discount the Commanders thus far, the teams they have beaten are 6-14.
Okay.
So there's that.
Not good?
None of them have a winning record.
They're not good.
No, I'm not saying that. I'm just...
They're bad.
No, if you're just looking to hold out some hope for something, there's that. All right. You want to go Giants, Cowboys, or Eagles.
Are the Cowboys in second place at the moment in the division?
Yes, they are.
I'll take it.
Mike McCarthy got his 170th career win, tied with Pete Carroll, Tom Coughlin, and Mike Shanahan for 15th all time. The Cowboys are also 3-0 on the road and 0-2 at home, which is weird. The last time Dallas started 3-0 in its season on the road, 2016.
What happened there?
They had a had a really great regular season, though.
Two of those three coaches have won two Super Bowls.
Shanahan
and Carroll. Tom Coughlin. Carroll has not, but Carroll won one.
He won a Super Bowl.
He should have won another one, but he trusted his quarterback.
Pass the ball.
Just let Marshawn Lynch carry that beer over to Taco and everything will be fine. Or Kevin.
Now, because I don't want Tom Brady to win. Rico Dowdle has recorded receiving touchdowns in back-to-back games. This is crazy to me. How long do you think it's been since a Cowboys running back has had a touchdown catch in consecutive games in the same season?
Oh, man. At least 20-something years.
It has been 24 years since the great Robert Thomas accomplished it in 2000.
Yeah, that's weird. Emmitt Smith wasn't, a big-time receiver, for one. He could.
And I'm sure he did it before
that. But even since then, I mean, the one thing I've complained about so much is we've never had a screen game in Dallas for whatever reason. And I thought McCarthy would really add to that. Hasn't quite. But even these so far, the one Dowdle touchdown was a screen pass. The other one was Dak and him just kind of got out there and a guy tripped.
It was very good.
And they were able to, as Broadus pointed out, they were able to pin Watt down away so that Dak could get outside of him.
Do you want one more Cowboys factoid?
Yep.
All right. Dak Prescott, 26-11 career in primetime games. He is one of four quarterbacks with a winning percentage of 700 or higher since 1970 in primetime games. And I'll tell you this. Every single one of these quarterbacks is great.
Joe Montana.
Correct.
Tom Brady.
Incorrect.
Peyton Manning.
Correct.
How far back do I need to go for this last one? Steve DeBerg?
Probably about in the Joe Montana era.
Troy?
I'll give you a hint. Really, really in the Joe Montana
John
era.
John Elway.
Steve Young. That's what I was trying to get at really, really in the Joe Montana era. Okay. But yeah, you think about it. Prescott is behind Peyton Manning, Joe Montana, and Steve Young. Like, unbelievable.
That is
company to be in right there.
Yeah, but what do all those guys have?
They all won a Super Bowl. I was about to say multiple, Steve Young couldn't get the job done.
No, he's soft.
All right, you want to go with the Eagles next?
Yeah, let's go with the Eagles. All right,
do you want to hear a boring quote from Nick Sirianni?
I love boring quotes.
Or can I ask you a philosophical football question?
All right, let's do both.
Okay, here's Nick Sirianni's quote. We went through adversity here already after the Atlanta game, and we got better from it. Use it. Get better from it. We're going to get better from this. Great coach. Thanks a lot. All right. My philosophical question
for you.
See
a man truly succeed is to see him struggle through adversity.
Okay. That I like better. Is week 5 too early for a bye?
Yes.
Okay. Because the Eagles are the only team that didn't win this weekend because they didn't have a game. And I don't know what the exact cutoff is, but I'm thinking week 7 to week 11. And it probably is not feasible to put all the buys in during that time. And I get why they want to spread it out for TV purposes and everything else. But week 5 feels too early for a bye.
If I'm a coach, one of the first things I'm saying, if they're like, hey, week 5 bye, I'm like, no, we're not.
Yeah,
I want my bye. Honestly, I want it to be either right in the middle or as late as possible because I need that time late in the season. You have your bye now, and by week 16, you're just beaten up and you've gone through all this and you don't have a break coming. So yes. I'm totally about that. And Kevin, at some point, that does feel like it's going to be on the docket, two byes for an 18 game.
When they add that next game, that is going to happen.
But yeah, man, that's week 5 is a terrible time for a bye.
Yeah, Alec, where do you fall football philosophy? Do you think week 5 is too early for a bye?
I think it's way too early, especially with the 17-game schedule now. It's like I want it as close to midway. I don't want it super late. I want it as close to right in the middle as I can get, because I wanted to be a good reset. And you can say, hey, we're halfway there. What can we fix at the halfway point-ish now?
And the Cowboys are going to have theirs in week 7. And I'm like, that's good enough, but that's on the border for me of like the earliest you would probably want to have your bye. But like Corey said, once they add another game, they'll shift up the bye schedule.
On the border, off the map.
Yeah. Yes.
That was our saying when I wasn't on the border.
Are you ready for the Giants? Daniel
Jones.
We
just beat them, so I'm good.
That's true. Daniel Jones became the first quarterback in Giants history to have more than 2,000 career rushing yards. How impressed are you by Daniel Jones?
Does he have 2,000 career passing yards yet?
Yes.
Okay.
Surely, right?
Sad that you had to ask that.
I know.
You're like, oh, crap. I'm not.
Okay.
I'm not impressed with Daniel Jones at all. And neither should Kay Adams be.
Okay, we don't know.
Come on, Daddy.
Okay.
He's...
I mean, maybe, I don't know.
It is impressive that he can run the way he does. And he's not scared to say, dial up a run play for me and I'll take it on. I'll get y'all the first down. He did put his body in... I mean, remember that season that he got laid out and leveled by Cox, Jabril Cox? He's... Since then, I mean, it's just, he doesn't do the quarterbacking so well.
By the way, one other positive note for the Giants. They currently lead the NFL with 22 sacks. That's the third most sacks through 5 games over the last 15 years. So if you're looking for a strength of the Giants, it is clearly that. We're the KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. Coming up next, we move into the lunch rush as part of the Expressway. The Mavs preseason has begun. Key storylines across the NBA and after 2 straight Western Conference Finals appearances, are the Stars primed to hoist the cup? We'll do it next right here on The Fan.
And that restores the lead for Memphis.
Look at this. Look at this.
Lively. He scores inside with a foul.
KNC Masterpiece right here on 105 Through the Fan. It is time for our Mavs and Stars Super Segment, but you just heard the promo. I want to remind you, Corey does not want me to say part of what I'm about to tell you.
I do not want you to say this at all.
Buffalo Wild Wings in Louisville this Friday.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Have you ever wondered what it's like to experience something paranormal, supernatural, or unexplainable? Join host Jack Wagner on the podcast Otherworld as he explores spine-chilling real stories shared by everyday people who have experienced something unexplainable. Listen each week for first-person testimony from people who have come face-to-face with something that can't just be explained away. Listen and follow Otherworld, an Odyssey podcast, available now on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Okay, we will also have G-Bag Whataburger-themed flags to give away. And if you want, I will ask you the hypothetical that I warned Spittle about a few minutes ago, and he just walked out of the room instead of hearing it.
Bad decision.
It's the hypothetical Corey doesn't want you to hear.
I've heard it before.
And that's why he doesn't want you to hear it.
Pre our anti-harassment seminar. And so, Kevin, I don't think that you should do this.
If you come out to Buffalo Wild Wings... You can hear that
no
as
one's
well.
Dying.
So hold on, you think that's the
well? Actually, in my hypothetical,
what?
Yeah.
Well, I'll tell you.
You
in
shouldn't
the break.
Tell him either.
Oh.
We just went through this.
I won't tell you. Wink.
No.
All right.
No, wink.
What is happening?
Let's start.
You can't say wink.
With the Dallas Mavericks. The Dallas Mavericks preseason has begun. They suffered a devastating 121-116 loss to the Grizzlies.
Because Derek Lively didn't get enough minutes.
Okay, well, I don't actually, just for the record, think it's devastating whatsoever. But Derek Lively going coast to coast right like that and just being like, yeah, I'll just keep the ball and go all the way up the court. It was freaking amazing. But the Mavericks did start the game with Hardy, Dinwiddie, Grimes, Marshall, and Gafford. Like, your logical second unit 5.
Mm-hmm.
And so I appreciated that we got the opportunity to see that out there. But seeing Derek Lively go coast to coast in a preseason game, I'm going to ask you this. Are our and my expectations for his acceleration in year 2 going to be too high?
No.
Hell yeah.
And I don't I say this because he did want to spend this offseason adding threes. And whenever he was given the chance last year, he made them.
Yes.
And he was like, I can do this. They're just, they don't want me to do it yet. So that was the thing that kind of hindered their offense a little bit at times. If he can leak out a little bit and do that, then Kevin, the sky is the ceiling is the roof for that moment. So I don't really know what your expectations are. Like, if you're saying MVP, maybe yes. Maybe it's a little too high. Are you, where are you? Are you NBA second team?
13-9. Dude, if he makes all NBA second team, we're going to be the number one seed in the West.
Because you believe that the other three veterans are good enough.
Well, plus, if you're second team all NBA, that means you're one of the 10 best players for the season. Mm-hmm. So we're going to get the number one seed if that happens. 13-9. 13 points a game, 9 rebounds a game. That's what I'm hoping for.
I'd like 13-11.
I mean, that'd be great.
Anything in between there would suck.
Yes, and be out of date. All right, so a couple of other notes for you. We talked about the Najee Marshall quote.
I'm sorry, can I had one other question on Lively.
Yeah.
Do we have the two most flexible, not like bendy, but most flexible big men in the NBA, like as a couple?
I don't think
as a pair, not
I
a
don't
couple, Alex.
Think so, just because we still haven't seen them play together. Because I would make a really strong argument that the most flexible big man tandems can be on the court at the same time.
Who else is out there that you would say is comparative?
Yeah, that's a good question.
Because I would have gone Gobert and Cat at the time, but yeah, I still like them more.
Since Cat moved.
And maybe Mike would be able to hit that Rolodex a little bit faster, thinking that. And I don't know who's on Denver that could compare there. Maybe Aaron Gordon?
Yeah, but see, I don't think, and that's the same thing I think about, like, Ananobi is not a big. I'm not going to put Denver in that category either. But I do think you see multiple situations across the NBA where you can play two bigs at once.
Fouls-wise, I get why they don't do it, but you're right, man. That would be a wrecking ball of chaos for an opponent going, how do we stop these two guys? Especially when you have that lob included as well.
No, absolutely. So something to keep an eye out on. Jason Kidd said the other day, I believe it was during media day, that he wants PJ Washington to be a playmaker and push the ball this year, as opposed to you feed the ball to Luka or Kyrie and they're going to go. And one of the things that PJ Washington said is he wants to be a 40% three-point shooter.
Ooh.
We might need to do a segment at some point, maybe next week, if this is your Mavericks wish list, like what takes priority? Because Lively taking another big step up, PJ Washington becoming a like distributor, or him becoming a 40% shooter, seeing Gafford and Lively on the court at the same time in usable, complementary roles. I think all of those would be good.
The part of becoming a 40% three-point shooter is, I feel like he's saying corner three is where he feels he can dominate the most.
That's where Lively will be shooting.
I would love for him to be able to stretch that around the corner, top of the arc at the break. I would love for him to be able to do that more consistently too, if he's going to be that kind. Because, Kevin, you're saying Kid wants him to push the ball.
Yes.
If he's pushing the ball, is he just going and standing in a corner? Is he able to do a little more from the top and from the outside?
I think so, but I also wonder if that means that you have three players, like, potentially on the floor at the same time, that can push the tempo, push the ball, and cut to the basket, if that could become a nightmare for having to cover. Like, can you imagine if PJ, Kyrie, and Luka were all capable of driving to the basket, or willing to drive to the basket, and they have Derek Lively standing in the corner, and you're like, I don't guard that guy?
Yeah, that would be, I think this is the most fun Jason Kidd will have coaching, because of the little chess pieces he gets to move around on this board, and Klay Thompson being part of it. Just kind of, it's icing on the cake for him because he can do so many different things.
And from the 214, if healthy, is Klay getting 25 plus minutes a night? I actually think 25 is probably
too much.
About where I would think it would be.
I'm going to say 22.
Yeah, 22 to 25. makes a lot of sense to me. But then again, if he just starts raining threes like we've seen in the past, then maybe that will change quickly.
And Dawson's brought it up a couple different times too. Is he going to be on the court in the final five defensively? Because if you need points, you want him out there. But
yeah.
Is he a good enough defender still? And we based on what we saw the last few years, he declined.
Yes. Absolutely.
Cam being part of the Mavs team defense accelerate him back to something of a really good defender?
See, and that's the tough part, because if you're going to pair, I'm not saying this would be the case, but if you're going to pair Klay, Kyrie, and Luka all in the last 5 minutes, is that a trio of mediocre at best defenders?
Yes.
And like,
it's tough to have those three on the court.
And that's how you're going to have to kind of balance.
Would you rather have Klay or Kai on the court for?
I'd rather have Kyrie Irving on the court.
Defensively too?
I think his,
until proven otherwise,
I think his aggressiveness offensively, or the potential for
and
his
creativity,
yeah, it offsets him being a worse defender.
Okay.
Is what I would go with.
Somebody did ask, Kevin, what channel can we watch the Mavs games on?
It's 29, right? I don't know the name of the channel. I'm sorry. It's 29.
Estrella? Was it Estrella TV or something? I don't know.
I don't remember.
We'll look it up.
I'm sorry. But as far as I know for now.
Stop asking Kevin is what he just said, right?
Okay. They're not. I mean, they're not going to be on Victory Plus. So they're going to be broadcast 29. Look, maybe they can cut another deal. I don't know. But for now, they're going to be on channel 29.
Okay.
All right. Can I ask you some questions across the NBA to go along with our Mavericks discussion?
Oh, hold on. No, before you do that, what are your feelings on what Spencer Dinwiddie's role is going to be this year? Because I saw somebody last night, I can't remember how the conversation went, but they said, would love to see him as a second team distributor. And with the lobs to the guys like Gafford and some of the other bigs we have.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting to see how that goes, because you think Najee Marshall's already been showing that as well. I think last night was an interesting indication that, like, theoretically, not that you are going to automatically sub out your entire starting five at the same time, but that Hardy would be paired with Dinwiddie, Grimes, Marshall, and Gafford. And then I think Gafford and Lively are still interchangeable in terms of the units that you rolled them out there with. So if Dinwiddie and Marshall can just be going to town on those lobs to Lively or Gafford, that would be optimal.
And we discussed last year, maybe PJ wasn't necessarily the guy that finished it, but a lot of times the ball got through him.
Yeah.
And I think Dinwiddie might be kind of the same thing too. And then from the 5-6-1, go get Mavericks. I agree.
Yes.
They already went and got Mavericks, honestly.
Get Mavericks. All right.
Boach is in on that. So
questions across the NBA. Do you think that the Grizzlies will be contenders with the return of Ja Morant? And I guess bonus question.
Well, is he okay?
How long will that return last?
Yeah, didn't he hurt himself last night? He did something on a dunk, and then he left the court. I think he came back shortly after.
Yeah.
Whether
it's injuries or whatever else, will he be out there and make them a contender?
I think he misses 30% of the games this year.
Okay.
And not because I don't think it's off court stuff. Derrick Rose's body couldn't hold up how violent he played.
Sure.
I think Ja Morant has a little bit of that in him, too. Now, the last couple of years not playing as much might help, but...
By the way, Taylor Jenkins described it as a minor little tweak in his ankle for Ja Morant.
You know?
And so they are not worried about
John
it.
That wasn't mine.
All right. I'm kind of glad, kind of sad that Mike's not here for this question. Because this feels like the thing he hates more in the NBA than anything else right now. Are LeBron and Bronny James' historic father-son pairing going to be special? Or do you think it's going to happen and you're like, oh, but you're still not good. We'll see you in a couple of years. For Bronny, LeBron.
I guess, how many of the fans that have interest in LeBron love LeBron, like love his story? Or is it just like, man, he's that great? I don't love LeBron, but I recognize how great that dude has been.
I think LeBron is like the Cowboys in terms of it's probably 60% fandom, 40% hate watch.
Okay.
Something in that general vicinity.
And do you think maybe 20 of that just like really die hard love him, or do you think that full 60?
No, I think just about that full 60 are like all in.
Then I think that there's going to be a huge audience for that. That they're going to find it touching, and they're going to find it to be something that is interesting and fun for that guy. I mean, not a lot of sports that you get to do that in. The Griffey's got to do it. That's a really cool thing. It's kind of fun to see it. Somebody said neither one can play. LeBron's too old and Son's not good.
Okay.
It might be true.
No, it's not. LeBron James last year shot 57% from the field while averaging 28 points, 7 rebounds, and 9 assists a game. That's incredible.
Sounds like the lowest stats of his career.
Okay, well, fine. It's still, and there's a couple years at the start. It's still better than that. Is still amazing.
He can't make free throws.
Well, you know what? That's a fair point. He's been like about a 70. Yeah. Too tall knows. He's about a 75% free throw shooter, give or take. He's still an awesome player. Is he unquestioned best in the league? Of course not. Is he top five? I would probably say no, but he's still really, really good.
Yeah. I think the people that love him, and you say 60% of the fans of him, will be really excited about seeing this play out. I don't know how long it'll last, though, honestly.
And then, I wonder about the shine kind of wearing
because off. Because what if Bronny's not good?
Yeah.
And does LeBron go, look, he's not good enough to play with me? Or is he going, nope, doesn't matter?
See, that's a great question. And because I just think he's not ready. I know it'll get described as he's not good. He's not ready. He shouldn't be here for like another 2 years.
Mm-hmm.
But we are where we are. So that's a great question. I honestly don't know how that is going to play out. All right. I will save some of these other NBA questions for another time, because right now we need to fire off cut number 20. It's time for hockey.
Kept alive by the Stars. Here's Robertson. Looks to bank it in. He scores! A hat trick and a 4-3 lead.
All right, the Dallas Stars have been in the Western Conference Finals 2 straight years. They have not won the Cup. In fact, they have not won the Cup now in, we're going on 26 years. Still more recently than a team from Canada, but still.
Almost as long as the Cowboys.
That actually is a really good point. But the fact that the Stars came here and they weren't here before and we saw them win.
And they've been back.
Yeah, and they've been in the Cup final plenty of times. All right, well, a few more times. All right, so I'm looking at this thing from NHL.com, and it's amazingly fascinating to me. They have 15 predictors on here.
Okay.
Okay? The Oilers were picked to win the Cup by 6 people.
Okay.
The Stars... by 6 people. Every other team in the league combined, 3 people.
Oh, really? Is Vegas one of those?
I don't think so. Right. So 12 of the 15 people from NHL.com said it'll be the Oilers or the Stars. And if you look at the breakdown where they're like, I'll go ahead and even tell you, the Stanley Cup Final MVP. 2 votes for Robertson, 2 votes for Wyatt Johnston, 1 for Miro, 1 for Ottinger. And so you still see a breakdown there as opposed to, yeah, we all think Connor McDavid's going to win it or whatever. That's a lot of hype on a team.
Do you think, you said Robertson first.
Yes, Robertson and Johnson both got multiple votes.
Do you think that he legitimately could be that guy? Because I don't.
Okay.
I think he's a really good player, but I think there's he's not that kind of star that we expected him to be.
Man, I am really glad that you brought that up.
Again, he's like, in my opinion, maybe like Nieuwendyk to Modano.
Sure.
You know, Nieuwendyk was a great player. Modano was our star. And I just think that as good as Robertson is, there's still something that's missing, an element missing from him for me.
So D Magazine has an article out right now entitled, "Who is the real Jason Robertson? Mm-hmm. The Stars are about to find out." And obviously it kind of breaks down some of your concerns versus some of the amazing things he did 2 seasons ago. But I want to take you to this other article that dove into it on the Daily Faceoff. So the Daily Faceoff had 32 bold predictions for the NFL season. We'll get back to one of them in a second because it was hugely problematic. But let's focus on the Stars. This prediction: Jason Robertson will bounce back with his second career 100-point season as the model of consistency, Dallas Stars win the Central. Robertson quietly dipped, and around here was not that quiet. Like, we discussed this a lot. From 109 points, which is the most in Stars history, down to 80 last year. Getting back north of 40 goals will make up for a bunch of those points.
Yeah.
So that's the prediction right there from the Daily Faceoff, that he will bounce back and be the player that it sounds like, Corey, you need him to be, or we all want him to be.
Yes.
Quick side note about this article. I don't know if you've seen this circulating. There was another thing in the article that didn't go over super well with people. For the Columbus Blue Jackets, at number 14, with a little help from Goudreau, who of course just recently died, the Columbus Blue Jackets will win the 2025 draft lottery. It's only consolation prize for a brutal year, but hope help is on the way. Bananas that the Blue Jackets have never won the draft lottery. Some people did not take kindly to saying that the spirit, or whatever you want to say, of Goudreau is why the Columbus Blue Jackets are going to win the draft lottery. That did not go over super well with people. It's gotten changed to drop out any mention of him. The essential point of it is still the same. But I did appreciate the editor's note they put at the top of the article. Item number 14 on this list included a prediction about the Columbus Blue Jackets winning the draft lottery has been amended to remove a comment about the late Johnny Goudreau looking down on the team from heaven. The intent was to honor Goudreau and not to offend, but the wording was chosen poorly.
Okay.
Does that feel
That's all right,
fair? Yeah. Do you think people overreacted? Was this the correct reaction? Okay.
Yeah, I mean, I get it. And I'm glad they also made that distinction.
Yeah. Go ahead.
I wanted to ask about the Stars, something about the Stars,
yeah,
real quick.
I've got more. Yeah, for
sure. I saw DraftKings has Stankoven at plus 600 to win the Calder Trophy.
Okay.
Do you... And it is weird because, like, he's a rookie this year.
Yes.
It's the Evan Carter thing.
Yeah, it's very similar to the system that they'll run out for baseball. I am pretty pumped about that opportunity because, and we'll dive into this a little bit more tomorrow when we talk about the reload efforts of the Mavericks and the Stars. But the Stars clearly made some decisions, or had some decisions made for them via retirement and the salary cap, that is going to push them to look harder at some of the younger players. Maybe you think it's going to be Maverick, if you think Stankoven is going to be the guy, but you're definitely going to see the young guys get plenty of time. I like that. You said 6-1 odds?
Mm-hmm.
I don't mind.
Plus 600 is 6-1, correct?
I don't mind that at all.
I do love his, like, the intensity he plays with. He's not even at his size, he's just like, I don't care, I'm going to get the puck.
Yeah.
And he's fast. He's got this ability to flash. I would love his style in Jason Robertson's body. Like, that would then,
sure,
then you're like, okay, we got a superstar here. I think it's a good team hockey, not necessarily two superstars anywhere.
All right. We've talked a lot of positive stuff. Corey, don't freak out. All right, I'm going to tell you just one thing. Don't panic, okay? Wyatt Johnston is probable, while Maverick Bork is doubtful for the Stars season opener against Nashville on Thursday. Just one game. They've had short-term injuries throughout camp. Obviously, Jason Robertson coming back from his foot injury, but it looks like at least Bork will miss the Stars season opener.
Great.
But it's going to be okay.
You're the one that delivered me this news, so I'm blaming you.
It's going to be okay, Corey. I really believe that. By the way, over-under points for the Stars this season, it's actually dropped 1 point since the betting began. They started over under at 104.5, which is a really high over under. It's now down to 103.5.
Really?
So it's changed. But last year they had 113 points.
Okay.
That's just a ridiculously high number to put on the over under. So 103.5, I will argue very strongly that if you don't hit 103 points in the regular season is going to be a disappointment.
Might as well go ahead and fold the entire franchise.
Or maybe they'll look at it from we'll continue to build up momentum for the playoffs and this time break through past the Western Conference Finals.
Do you think DeBoer's cursed?
No. A little bit.
Okay.
I couldn't give you the no with more conviction, Alec, because I didn't believe it. I want him to not be cursed, but I've said this many times. Here's a PSA. There's another reason to come out to Buffalo Wild Wings in Louisville. If you are cursed or some weird thing is happening to you that no one will believe you, I will believe you. I told Dawson this a long time ago. If you were like, oh my God, I took the mummy's jewelry out of the tomb and now I don't need it explained to me anymore. I'm in. I just need to know what we need to do and how can we fix this. I'm in on your quest. Every movie I watch, I probably watch too many horror movies. Nobody believes that person. I will believe you if you're in some sort of weird supernatural situation. Now,
that's what I've always appreciated about
is
you,
that,
Kevin.
That's the thing, mm-hmm. huh?
Yep, that's what I've always appreciated
okay.
about
well,
you.
Well, that's great. Thank Andy. You very much, Corey, for appreciating that about me. All right, last thing I want to throw out for you about the Stars, though we will dive right back into the Stars tomorrow. How high do you think the Stars are on the hope-o-meter?
Because
remember, when we did this for the Cowboys from The Athletic, it was really
What's the
bad.
1 to 100?
Yes. So what percentage of hope do you have for the Dallas Stars?
87%.
Alec, what percentage of hope do you have for the Dallas Stars?
88.8%.
It's even higher than that,
what?
I believe. The Dallas Stars, because in this one, there's no middle ground. You only pick yes or no if you're hopeful for the team.
That's boring.
The Dallas Stars are in the top five, and they're in the 90s.
Okay.
So there's a lot of hope for this Dallas Stars team.
So not 87%?
No, it is higher than that.
88.8?
No, it's in the 90s.
He just said it's 89.9-ish.
No.
It's in that area.
It's
that
range. 94%. All right.
Too high.
Why is that too high?
If it's not 100, why even be 94?
What? So hold on. If you thought you were about to start an endeavor and it was 94% likely you were going to succeed, you'd be like, might as well not.
See if we can get that up to 100.
That makes no sense, especially
or at least
as a sports fan.
99.99%.
Okay, especially as a sports fan. What sports endeavor do you ever go into where you're like, 94% we're winning?
Playing the Panthers.
That's fair. But you can't always play the Panthers.
You're right.
This
but
week,
if we could.
You will not.
Playing the White Sox.
Hell yeah. I would like to see that. We're the KNC Masterpiece right here on 105 Through the Fan. Like I said, we'll dive more into Stars and Mavs tomorrow as we're just 2 days away from the Stars season opener. But right now, time for this.
What does this button do?
Please, please, do not push the button. You have no idea what it...
Alec, you be quiet.
Alec, that was awful. One for Alec, zero for Peyton.
Don't you dare touch that dial.
Don't you dare do it. It's time for AM on the FM.
I'm sorry, Alec. It was 95.2 for the Stars as opposed to 94%. My apologies.
Now, this changes everything.
What?
It really does.
We would have guessed 95.2.
What does that change?
We would have guessed that exactly if you'd given us that option.
What?
But there is no middle ground, Corey.
Thank you.
Not allowed to.
That sounds like me.
Yeah, so 877-881-1053. That is the Frankel and Frankel Injury Attorney text line where you can make fun of Kevin's math or you can answer the question of the day today, which this is not based on whatever made-up holiday today is. This is a random thought that I had on the way home from the show yesterday because I did see this TikTok a while back where these guys about my age, they have a YouTube channel or whatever, and they were getting AI-generated sentences that they had to read in the voice of certain people.
Awesome.
And they had to read it in the voice of a rapper that I would play some of his music, but it's just horrible for radio. I couldn't even bleep as many things as I wanted to because it would just sound dumb. His name is Westside Gunn. He has a really cartoonish, tacky, high-pitched voice. And it is awesome.
Like
me? There is nobody in the hip-hop game that sounds like him at all. And they were reading just everyday sentences in his voice, and it was the funniest thing ever. So it got me thinking, 877-881-1053, if you could trade voices with someone permanently, who would you trade voices with? And I'll go ahead and give you mine because there's some great audio that literally happened just last night.
from the man that I think I would trade voices with. One, because I think for my money, he's the best. He's the greatest of all time at what he does. And two, I think that somewhere down the road, play-by-play broadcasting is still in the books for me. So just listen to this call from Westwood One last night.
There's the shotgun snap, the fake handoff, the quick throw at the goal line is deflected and it's intercepted on the play by Saunders. He runs the big man, the 10, near sideline 20, on the near sideline 30, got a block and from behind, the former Chief is taken down. The Saints big man got it on the ricochet at the goal line. That was a thick pick. That was a thick pick.
That was a thick pick.
By the way,
from Kevin Harlan,
that play was awesome, and I knew it was unlikely, but when he took it out of the end zone, I was really hoping that he was going to score.
Me too. As much disdain as I have for that franchise in New Orleans, I wanted that to happen so bad.
Now, I might have to give you some background information on my person. I would like to switch voices with Tony Todd. If you don't know who Tony Todd is,
I don't.
He is the voice of Candyman. And my wife and I just watched that movie. I've seen it before. And so she's been watching some horror movies that I really like for October. He is the just overwhelming presence of awesomeness. Well, I guess, and badness in that movie. But his voice is amazing. It is 8 octaves lower than mine. And it just feels like whatever he's saying has gravitas. Even if you're like, that didn't make any sense. You feel like it made sense because of how deep his voice is. I would choose Tony Todd.
I like that. I got a list of 5, Kevin.
Oh my gosh, wow. That was so fast.
I don't have them in any particular order either. But Alan Rickman, I always enjoyed his voice. A lot of them are dead, Kevin.
Oh.
James Earl Jones.
Oh, that's a great one. He's also dead.
Sean Connery. You don't like Sean Connery?
No, I was
voice?
Trying to figure out if he's alive or not.
He's no longer with us.
Oh, no. Are these people all dead?
Not all of them.
Okay.
Sam Elliott definitely is on the list.
Yes.
Because Sam Elliott is the great voice. And then, this is wild, Mark Falwell.
Oh,
yes.
I think Mark Falwell has
a good one.
The golden pipes. When he was at North Texas, Bill Mercer was like, yes, he's the golden piped kid. And it's amazing
that's
to me.
One.
I know he gets to do soccer and he gets to do a lot of things.
Yeah.
And the Mavs are his team. But it's amazing to me that he hasn't been plucked by a national
that's
somewhere
a crime.
Else. Yeah.
I've told him that exact same thing, too, that I would steal his voice if I could.
He knows.
Like he is seriously high up there in like my play-by-play, like, I guess you could say idols, because, you know, I do it. I do high school football. I do high school sports and whatnot. So there's people I take things from. I listen to a lot of Mark Falwell, and I've told him, I think it was on a weekend show one time, I was like, I hope you know, I like steal all of your tricks. I was like, all the pro wrestling references that you drop in during Mavs games, I do that. I was like, I follow the cadence a lot. Like, man, like I basically just steal all your stuff. I hope you're okay with that.
One time when I was driving in on a Sunday morning when we were working weekends, I tweeted out that I would love to make out with Sarah Bareilles' voice because she's a singer and I love her voice so much. And she liked the tweet.
Oh.
And I was like, that's not her. The voice. Like, I was just like, I just love this voice so much. So that's the female I'm
talking
about.
That'd be so great if she came up to you and like, let's make out, Corey. And you're like,
the words.
Not really my type. I just went.
The voice.
But keep talking, though. You know, just keep talking.
Your voice.
Man, no, let's see. Lots of Morgan Freeman coming through on the Frankel and Frankel Injury Attorney text line.
That's a good one.
Remember we had a former Panthers cornerback in here and he sounded like Morgan Freeman, so we asked him to read. Was it Romo's note? We asked him to read.
Yeah.
as
there comes
Morgan
a
Freeman.
Time in everyone's life.
Seen a lot of Gus Johnson as well. He's got that energetic voice. I don't know his name, but the Charlotte Hornets play-by-play guy for TV. He also did, I'm sure we're going to revisit that at 122, the Tuesday tailgate. He was on the call for the Boise State game.
Oh,
this
yeah.
past weekend.
Yes.
And he is the dude that he'll go full voice crack because he just goes full excitement. He was on the call, I think it was when, I want to say Carl Anthony Towns had like a 60-point game.
Okay.
And he just pulls up from three and he just goes, no, no, no. Like, he's just so emotional in these games. He is so great.
I love, just going back, I love Gus Johnson for that exact reason.
Yes.
Because the enthusiasm he brings to these scenarios is off the charts.
Liam Neeson is a fantastic option, too.
Yes.
He was number six on my list, by the way.
Let's see, from the three, one, you had six?
Was him being alive, did that hurt his case?
Kind of, yeah.
Okay.
And I see people saying Eric Nadel. And Alec, if you have it available, I would just love to hear the Are You Not Dreaming one more time. Before everything's gone, Bochy has a great voice.
Yeah, he does.
I mean, Bochy, when he starts talking, you're just like, whatever you need, sir, I got you. And you want to salute and go do
Fact.
It.
Fact.
You know, like every time that we have Boch on the show during the season, I almost don't want to put him on the air with y'all because he'll chat me up. Like I have to call him a good like 2 minutes in advance because he'll just ask me how I'm doing, how things have been. Like, you know, how's your week been?
That's awesome.
I'm just like, I do not want to stop talking to this man.
That's really cool because Alec, you were there for the parade and like, I just remember you were wide-eyed. Like you were just like, I can't believe I'm actually here for this. Not just as a Rangers fan, but being part of it.
Sure.
So that's got to feel really cool, too, to be able to talk to your manager, you know, like that.
Yeah, and I had the lucky chance of being able to host at FanFest after we won the World Series.
That
so
is awesome.
I had a good, like, four-hour show. We had Emily Jones. We had Grant Anderson. We had Robinson Chirinos. Tony Beasley hopped on with us. Like, we had everybody there, and we were set up right outside the Players Lounge. So I bumped into Boch, got to say hi. Jonah Heim, he's a massive human. Got to talk to him. Max Scherzer gave me a death stare. That was fun. I got all of those experiences, and it was just like, man, this is the crew that like got it done.
Yeah.
You know, they did it for us. This is really, really cool.
Maybe that will be another thing to appeal to get people out to the Buffalo Wild Wings. We'll tell you some of the things Boch said to Alec when things weren't going so well for the Rangers.
Some great one-liners when they were in some losing skids. Oh, boy.
Liev Schreiber's a really good one, too. He voices the Hard Knocks.
Yeah.
And he's also a Ray Donovan.
Yeah. That is a good one. That is a good one.
There's some really good ones coming in. Lots of James Earl Jones. I did see some Mark Falwell in there as well. Lots of Bruce Bochy. Lots of agreement here. Samuel L. Jackson came in here from the 817. I think just because the energy he brings, that would be really fun.
That's fair.
Nobody said Sandler. That's weird.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean.
Huh.
Your thoughts, Kevin?
I like Jared Sandler a lot.
I like him too. Sometimes.
Nobody said we didn't. Kevin, your thoughts on his voice, though?
I feel like I answered that exactly how I wanted. We're the KNC masterpiece right here. I'm just kidding. I love you, Jared. Right here on 105.3 The Fan. Coming up next.
I think he's calling me.
It's time for the C Block starring Corey Majors.
Man, I got a lot of things to talk about next.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Have you ever wondered what it's like to experience something paranormal, supernatural, or unexplainable? Join host Jack Wagner on the podcast Otherworld as he explores spine-chilling real stories shared by everyday people who have experienced something unexplainable. Listen each week for first-person testimony from people who have come face-to-face with something that can't just be explained away. Listen and follow Otherworld, an Odyssey podcast, available now on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.